In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I touched on this a couple of sermons ago, but I'm going to reiterate. Remember, there were itinerant Jews that made their living by casting out devils. You remember the name Sceva and his sons. And the meaning of this is that, like little children who are playing, and they think that one group of children is treating them unfairly or something is going on, they appeal to authority. I'm going to tell mom, or I'm going to tell dad, or I'm going to tell my big brother, meaning they're going to come and they're going to rule over the situation. So Jews who were exorcists would appeal to a greater devil than they believed was in the one that was demon possessed. Now, I don't know how much communication takes place with Satan and his minions, but I do know that it worked because it was a practice that was normal. And remember, recalling Sceva again, he was trying to cast a demon out of somebody, and he said, "I adjure you, with the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches." And the devil spoke back to him through this possessed individual, and he said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you." Then he beat them up and sent them out of the house running naked into the street. You can imagine the embarrassment, not to mention the hurt it did to their reputation as exorcists. But it was normal. It was a normal thing to appeal to authority. So even if you were appealing to demonic authority, the idea is that the inferior person is going to question his own commission. In other words, what am I doing here? And he will think, does the prince of demons, the prince, not Satan, Satan is the ruler, the prince, Beelzebub, is he going to be happy with what I'm doing right now? And just as we may stop something as we think, or speaking of myself particularly, would Sayyidina be happy if he knew what I was doing right now? If somebody came and questioned me with great intent and purpose, would I continue on my way, or would I say, "Ooh, I wonder if I am doing the right thing"? This is the efficacy. This is the means by which these things occurred. So when the Lord cast the demon out of the blind and the mute man, all of the simple folk were around and says, "Is this not the son of David? Is this not him?" They used the subjunctive case in English. Could, should, would. Could this not be? I don't know what it is in the original Greek. I don't have it here to compare. But it means, as a supposition, is this a probability? And they, since they were all singing, they thought it to be a strong, strong probability. So, as a counter to that, the Jews that were around, they said, "Nah, he's not the son of David. This fellow," they didn't even use his name. You understand that? This is a definite insult. This guy over here. Imagine you saw Amba Serapion here, our metropolitan. He said, "See that guy over there?" You don't use that kind of speech. If Pope Tuadros was here, "You see that guy over there? You see that fellow over there? Talk to him." No. It's a great insult. It doesn't seem like it is when you read the English, this fellow. But then they say, the way in which he did the thing that you common folk think of as being miraculous, it's a simple thing. He cast out the devil by appealing to the prince of devils, Beelzebub. Now, we're coming up on Halloween. There are all kinds of people that are frightened to death about Halloween. I read something that Anba Yusuf in the Southern Diocese wrote in the magazine that is published by the monastery here at St. Anthony's. And he went way, way down the line mentioning things that don't exist in the mind of anybody except who has done a Wikipedia search on the word Halloween. And he didn't get Halloween correct at all. It means All Hallows' Eve. All Hallow. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's the holy day. And so you remember all saints on this day. Not one by one. Not one by one, but as a collection. All those who have pleased God since the beginning. What do we say in the beginning of the magma, or the commemoration? For such, O Lord, is the command of the only begotten Son that we share in the commemoration of the saints. The commemorative day of All Saints' Day begins with the eve. The eve is what we have left over as a legacy of the Jews of how they told time. When does Sunday begin? Saturday night at sundown. Saturday night in the world at sundown is when Sunday begins. So Halloween, it's the eve of all holiness in commemoration with these saints. And there isn't anybody in the last few centuries that thinks of this as being Wiccan. W-I-C-C-A-N. Nobody thinks of this as being satanic except people that are trying to make money through scare tactics. And these are probably our Protestant brethren in most of the churches, and especially where Anba Yusuf is from, they probably had some influence on him. But kids that are dressing up looking like Superman or Spider-Man or whatever cartoon character or video game character, they don't know what Wicca is. How many of you know the word Wicca? One person in the church knows the word Wicca. So, and however, if you want to take the extreme case, it's a possibility. It's a possibility that the things that the person is doing are so meaningful symbolically that what they are doing is inviting the dark side. Inviting. There's lots of spirituality, however, that is much closer to evil than the things in which we believe. Ask a Muslim about the jinn. Or you say in Arabic, with Egyptian Arabic, gin. Ask them about the gins. You know? Our Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, there is no way any spirit can enter into us. Period. Unless we invite him in. Unless we invite the evil into us. If we invite it, then it's okay, because then now we are expelling the Holy Spirit. Because the two cannot exist side by side. Just as you can't have one foot in the east and one foot in the west. You cannot do that. The east and west, although they are not polar, they are relative. And they are opposites. I wonder if you're standing in Japan, what they think of as the Far East. Western Europe? You understand? It's a relative position, but it's an important thing to think about. So then what do we see when we think about people who are demon-possessed today? And I'm hoping that most of the people that you know are Christian. So I'm talking about Christians now. who've been baptized in the Holy Trinity. We talk about them as being frenzied. Frenzied. We talk about being nuts. Now, that person over there is nuts. That person over there is crazy. Or what do you say in Arabic? Magnoon. That's a good word for you. Hoa magnoon. I'm not picking on the women because they make the food. But why? Why do we say that? Because you may have a habit that mimics or imitates possession. Give a guy absolute discipline, and he will not be possessed and cannot be possessed by anything. But many people are possessed by tobacco, food, money, even things that we think of not so bad, like love of learning. You can become possessed. And so they have words for somebody who is possessed by that. Pedantic. P-E-D-A-N-T-I-C. Pedantic. It means excessively attentive to detail. And the guy will just go crazy. No, you didn't say that the right way. That's not the correct formula. Just get two theologians trying to describe ousia, or essence. Ousia, really simple concept, of one essence with the Father. Jesus is of one essence with the Father. Well, what does that mean? So we have Chalcedon. We have anathemas and papal bulls being thrown down, and we are suffering from that 1600 years later. 1600 years, and they don't have it right. Sometimes I think that Christians are the most blinded people in the whole world. I was listening to something, and someone was saying, if you go to Jerusalem and you go to the Holy Sepulchre, there are six churches that have a piece of the area around the Holy Sepulchre. And guess what? None of them talk to each other. None of them can speak to each other. And right now there are videos going on because of something that is occurring, because there was no conversation. And I have been aware of this since 1970. Me. I have a better relationship with my next door neighbor or the neighbor across the street than godly people in Jerusalem have with one another. That's a terrible thing to say about any church in particular. But all of them, all together, now we may use one of those words I used before. Frenzied, nuts, crazy. The reason the problem is existing in Jerusalem right now is because of no conversation, no love, no mutual respect, no commonality on the easiest and most simplest words. They disagree on the meaning of anything. We pray, and you heard me pray, for the Eritrean patriarch. Why am I not praying for the Ethiopian patriarch? The answer would be, we don't know who the Ethiopian patriarch is. There's two. Okay. So, why don't we say a prayer and say it this way? God, you know who the legitimate patriarch of Ethiopia is. We're praying for him. We don't care what his name is. But you know, Lord, if we personally can't figure it out, if there's not enough authority, intelligence, education, or whatever in our church, and we lack that, and we can't see who's right and who's wrong in this problem that is affecting thousands of Orthodox Christians, maybe millions of Orthodox Christians, then you, Lord, accept in our humility and in our poverty my prayers for the right one, whose name I will not speak because I am not smart enough to speak it. But the reason that these things exist is because you go to the Ethiopians who are now in this place and you say, what? Who is your master? Who is the one that overarches you? Who is your bishop? What is your spiritual lineage? Right? And we start to have a conversation with that person. And then maybe we get some movement on this problem that, as I said, has been, at least in my awareness, since in the 70s. Since the 70s. We can't find anybody to talk to since the 70s. Our whole church can't do that. So now there's a big brouhaha, and everybody is excited, and everybody is nervous, and everybody wants to protect the church, and everybody thinks, what a horrible thing it was for a monk to be treated badly by an Israeli soldier. Well, let me tell you something. It would be the same if it were here. You violate the rule of law in America, and the same kind of force is used against you. Because if there's not, then there's what you call insurrection. There's called anarchy. You know what anarchy means? Nothing overarching you. You have no boss. You have no one that you listen to. You only listen to your own words. It's a terrible thing. Why am I mentioning all of these things? I will tell you clearly. Because when we look at somebody today and we say, that person is crazy, that person is frenzied, that person is nuts, that person is a magnoon. Why do we say those things? Because he is acting as though he had a demon. He's not acting sensibly. He's not acting in a way that is bringing him dignity and honor, nor even his cause. I remember some years ago when there was an actual fist fight on Easter between the great Orthodox churches at the Holy Sepulchre. Why is that? Why is that? Now, you know me, I like to fight. I don't mind being hit, and I really like punching. I really like it. I used to fight when I was a young man. And it feels good. It's better than a touchdown. It's better than, a slam dunk. Because when you hit somebody, you get to see that little sad look that comes on their face when you hit them really hard. And it's always that same face. And I like that. Why do I like that? Because in that contest, which we have both freely entered, we have freely entered into that arena. And he is saying, I will prevail over you. And I am saying, I will prevail over you. There must be that contest. You know, we always honor the saints that have slaughtered the most people on the battlefield. Do you see this icon? There's not an icon like this in any church in the world. These are all of those that are called piafloforos, struggled, mantled martyrs. Everyone was a warrior. Everyone. Maurice, George, Mina, Theodore, and Abu Sufyan or Mercurius. They all distinguished themselves by killing. They were all part of armies. And the great meaning is that in all of their being a warrior, they would lay down their life for Christ. As meekly as a lamb, because they would not ever offer incense to an idol. And this is how I feel about myself. Since I've become a priest, except for one person, I haven't stricken anyone. There was the one guy, and he deserved it. But generally speaking, all of that is behind me, and it wasn't about that. It was not about religion, something much more small. But, you know, as levels of force go, if you want to think about the wildness of the nature of humankind, you start off with the guy in supermarkets or in malls, and he's what you call an inventory control specialist. He watches for shoplifters. You go outside, then you have somebody who is mall security, generally speaking, for thefts, for parking issues. You leave that, and then you're under the purview of either sheriffs or police, county or city. You go beyond that under the highways, you have the highway patrol. You go under the courts, you have the marshal's office. And it goes on and on and on. The Coast Guard, the Navy, what are these all for? Policemen. They police different things and they have different responsibilities. But what are they policing? They are policing exactly the kinds of behavior that we call lunacy. A lunatic. A demonic. A crazy person. Craziness, when we look at this gospel, we have to say, when was I crazy? When was I the lunatic? When was I addicted? When was I out of my mind? When was I frenzied? Sometimes, especially in old people, and I'm getting pretty long in the tooth, an old person doesn't fight anymore because they don't have the ability to fight, not because inside they're not fighting. Sometimes an old person, you will find in that old person the most angry, bitter, ugly human that you could ever possibly find. And they're just sitting there like this, you know, with a dour face, not saying anything, just kind of hunched over. It belongs to youth. Those are the ones who fight the wars, are they not? You can't even get into the armed services anymore beyond, I think, what, 36 or something like that. I don't think you can even enlist in the services if you're 36. And that's half my age. So this can be something that's hidden, apparently, but it's known to God. So when we see this, we do what this person did. We ask for healing. In this narrative that we just prayed, it wasn't the demonic that asked. It was people close. So like the four youth who took their friend to let him down in the midst where Jesus was and removed the tiles from the roof so that they could do so. If you have people that love you, perhaps they can move you. Only you know what is inside you. It is so important to confess. It is so important for us not to be this way. The whole church needs a general confession. All of us, starting with me. I think it would be better if everyone who was a priest, a deacon, a bishop, a metropolitan, if all made public confessions. Why? Not to scandalize, but to let people know the sincerity. The sincerity. So that we don't pretend that we're good. So that we don't put on these fine clothes, such as you see me wearing, that are undeserved. That are undeserved. They say the priest wears black. Why? Because he's carrying the sins of the people. Huh. The sins of the people would only cover up part of my galabeah. My own sins take care of the rest of the coloring. And I say this because I told you this before, when you look at the Beatitudes, which one are you? I'm the one who looks, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for rectitude, for everything being in line the way it is supposed to be, for everything not just appearing to be good, but being good in essence. All right, I've spoken for too long and I apologize to you. You know, the great thing about our God, when Jesus knew, and he always knows, but when Jesus knew what the Jews were saying about him, and about the kindness and the generosity of the cure that he had made, he didn't take it personally. They say, you don't cast out devils except by the prince. He said, no, I don't. He didn't say that. He said, no, I don't. I'm the Son of God. He didn't say that. I'm the one who is preached about in Isaiah. Read the prophets. They will tell about me. He didn't say that. He just turned their own logic against them and said, look, if you believe that the prince of anything, of a country, Prince Rainier of Monaco, any prince you name, from the House of Saud, one of the princes, if he turns against the own house, how will the house not be divided? And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his house stand? He just turned it against them. It is such a humble way to teach someone, using their own words to bring them to the truth so that they could see without prejudice, I'm here just for you. Someone said this a long time ago and I like it. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Without Christ, we're dead. We are dead. We have only the appearance of life. But when we die, to dust will we return. Without the Holy Spirit, without the blessing of our God, our Creator, the one we call Nymphaeus in Greek, because he is the true bridegroom who loves us, and we are his bride. These things are shameful, and I know I've been all over the map, but I wanted you to get a sense of Christians cannot be demon-possessed unless that Christian invite the devil and expel the Holy Spirit. And whosoever would do that, let them see to themselves. I did not say, nor does the Lord, that you should pray for them, because it's a blasphemy of the first order. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.